Hello friends, welcome back. So after our chapter 4 discussion on why vendor management is required, we have the specific chapter on things to take care while having the vendor management. Okay, so here in this chapter we'll be talking about the infrastructure management. Here we'll also be talking about the steps which we are going to take before onboarding the partner. Okay, what could be the clauses should be a part of the consideration when you are formally entering into an agreement. Guys, remember, written document which will be, you know, engaged with the partner is going to save you for life, right? So it is also important for us to understand what are the clauses, contractual clauses should be a part of the contract, right? Finally, how do I continuously monitor? So basically, this is an extension of the previous chapter. Each element will be going into the great depth, right? So after this chapter, you will be in a position to learn everything about the vendor onboarding, vendor management, okay? So let's start. Information and Communication Technology, ICT, because the information or the IT is also interchangeably used as in Information Communication Technology. Both are one and the same, so don't get confused. So this is what, right? So this is something which is, when you say the management, it covers all the several challenges, right? Which are associated with your IT infrastructure management, right? Or ICT management for that matter, right? And this includes right from the technical support, from your deployment phase, from your operation point of view, everything it covers, right? So when you say management, it's a global umbrella through which, you know, we kind of try and cover ourselves. So a few more pointers on the ICT IM or the ICT management is something, you know, if I read out the bullet points, the ICT ICTM or ICT IM process are closely associated with the infrastructure on which the IT services run. Okay, I'm sure you are able to connect it. Responsible for managing a service through each of the stages of the life cycle, friends. If you talk about identity, if you talk about device, if you talk about vendor management, everyone has a life cycle to follow, okay? Even the human being has a life cycle to follow, right? So, the various stages, right, from a life cycle, from the requirement through design, feasibility development, build, test, deployment, everything, okay? You name it, you consider as a part of ICT management. So, this will be more clearer as we progress. So, what ICT management, kind of comprises of? So if I say any ICT, right, or any management practices, they can also be considered as a project, right? So several project management practices which are, easily being adopted here as a part of the ICT management. Also, this requires, to closely associate it together. So remember, all the knits are tied together. You have to work with the business to have the effectiveness of the ICT management. And finally, something which is, touching base on several life cycle aspects, it needs to be, factored as a part of this management. Okay, service provider. So like a vendor, partner, service provider is nothing but if I say defined in a very simple or a layman terminology, is the service provider is nothing but anyone who is offering us a specialized services. Okay, it could be a telecom provider. It could be a service provider, it could be the facility management, everything can be a part of the service or the service provider or say bucket. Okay, what would be the objective here? So similar to what we discussed in the previous chapter, my objective would be to offload my redundant task, okay, which I don't see as a value add for an organization or for my employee, I would probably, kind of offload. So the initial slides in this chapter is going to, overlap with the previous chapter. The idea is just to, connect this subject very well as we progress. Okay. Notice the diagram very carefully. Okay. So this diagram talks about my life cycle of the vendor partner. Okay. Vendor program, which if I'm thinking of selecting my vendor, what I will do is I will use the vendor evaluation program to determine whichever factors are affecting me, Okay, so it could be my existing vendor if I want to replace, or my existing services if I am freshly built something, whether my vendor will be in a position to effectively operate and sustain, right? Moving on to the optimization. So once I onboard the partner, okay, I would as a customer expect that there is an optimization in the services. I cannot have the standardized services as and when it used to be 5 years ago. Okay, I would definitely would like to see optimization. So as an optimization, I would like to have the improved SLA, the improved customer satisfaction. The parameters could be any. Okay, moving on to the risk and control. Obviously, once you onboard the partner, you are onboarding a third party. You are also onboarding the associated risk. Okay, risk is something needs to be formally documented and updated to the senior management. It is not only necessary that you develop a risk only while onboarding. Okay, there may be frequent changes from the vendor point of view also. Okay, maybe as and when you progress, you would like to also assess and capture the newly emerged risk. Okay, and finally, you kind of do the assessment of the previous partner or the assessment of the previous year with the same partner. At the same time, my objective is to optimize the services. So continuous performance measuring is also very, very important. Otherwise, if you lose another string, vendor will take you for a ride. This is the second time I'm repeating. Okay, moving on to the selection. Okay, whenever I am selecting a partner, there are certain key things I must factor into. Okay, there may be a startup today who would be approaching me and offering me the service which is the class apart or maybe out of the box. However, it is my choice whether and to assess that, hey, today I am going to onboard this startup. What tomorrow if they are not getting fund? What if they are out of the business tomorrow? Am I documenting the risk and updating my senior management that this is the risk? The product looks good, everything is okay, the services are cheap. However, this is something a risk which we carrying out. That could be one thing. Is my partner, whosoever I am onboarding for meeting my requirement, is he capable enough to manage my services? Okay, does he have the experience of the similar industry? You might have noticed that if you are from a specific organization, okay, you might want that the partner, whatever you are selecting, you might ask for a references. And if the references are not of a specific industry which you are in, you may probably score them less. Okay, why it is important? Because it is very essential for a partner to know that what is my nature of my organization. Suppose if I'm taking some services from the dispatch point of view, okay, maybe a way bridge or maybe an automized system of packaging or whatever, okay, and if the partner does not have a prior knowledge of the manufacturing industry, for an example, he may not know that I may have piled up of the truck for the dispatches which will cause the huge business loss. Okay, so that's something it's very, very essential. We also look for any peer reference. So whenever we are evaluating the partner, there are reference check happens. So maybe you ask for a reference check and you ask your partner to have a joint call along with the existing provider or the existing customers of them, so that you connect with them, you understand, you see, you discuss the problems which they are facing, how they overcome, what is the competency of the partner to solve those problems. Again, how many years since the partner is into this business? Okay, maybe in my organization, since we are a conglomerate, we are absolutely sure that we will be picking up the partner only if he is into the industry since more than 3 years. Why? Because we would like to see the stability of it. We also assess the balance sheet. We see that over a period of years, is he increasing the customer base? Is he increasing the revenue? Is he increasing the profitability? This will happen only if he is providing a unique services, right? These are pretty much very important factors which one must consider while onboarding the partner. Few organizations may have a global presence, okay? So as I had explained last time, that the way in which you interact with the Brazilian guy is different than the way in which you interact with the Chinese guy, right? Is the vendor capable enough to manage that show? those questions are hard questions, but it needs to be factored in. Another very important aspect is the uniqueness, or what uniqueness over a period of year my partner is going to bring on the table, right? Because it's a world of innovation, friends. And if you are not innovative, you may be out of the business today. Okay, so maybe I'm not a subject matter expert. I'm not an expert in that industry, but my partner is. So is my partner kind of bringing me the automation, or is something out of the box which is kind of bringing, which is solution, which is of IoT and which is secured, right? So these are the very, very important factors one must consider while onboarding the partner, okay, or before as an assessment. How do I go ahead what could be, actually capturing all this requirement, okay? So requirement in mind looks to be very, very jazzy. However, when you document on a paper and when you ask the responses from the partner, that's when the game changes, okay? So there are some concepts of the RFP or RFQ. So RFP is request for proposal, and RFQ is request for, quantity. So you document all your requirements and you send it across to the selected partner. You give them a specific timeline and you ask them to furnish the responses. Okay, now since they are committing on a piece of a paper, obviously there is some amount of credit there. So these are something the ways and means through which you can assess the partner before you are kind of onboarding it as a part of your onboarding process. Okay, now how do you select the partner? So notice the diagram very carefully. So it's a very systematic process, friends, and many of the organization, they follow it very rigorously. Why? Because it's also an audit issue. So suppose if I have a requirement that before onboarding any or before selecting any partner, I will have the three quotes. Okay, I'm sure all of you know this. So I need to have the three quotes as a mandatory requirement. In case if I am not having the three quotes, what is the justification I'm giving for giving this order to only one partner? Okay, so all these factors are considered as a part of the vendor selection. So let's go into the detail of the steps while we select the partner. Okay, developing the project bid and specification. So like how I was mentioning during the last session, you as a customer should be absolutely clear on what you want. Okay, you cannot keep on changing your goalpost. You should be absolutely sure that this is what the goal post is and this is what I want to achieve. Obviously, there may be a minor deviation there, but that's okay. So whenever you are formulating the bid document or the project bid document or the RFP document, you should be clear enough, and it is also very essential that you are having an inclusive approach. When I say an inclusive approach, you may also touch base with the several other department of your organization to understand their requirement well. Okay, similarly, as a step two, you may have the recruiting and the qualifying vendors. So maybe there are five vendors are offering this solution, but for sure that out of five, these two vendors, they are just new into the industry, they do not have the customer base. You'll probably go ahead and reject them on the first table, right? But the remaining three are kind of very seasoned one. Let me kind of go ahead and forward the RFP to them. Okay, so that's something, the qualifying of the vendor, again it's a very important. The more vendor you float the RFP to, the more difficult your job would be. Why? Because the responses or the formulations and the comparison will go nasty. Okay, so you have to be very sure that what is your window in which you want to play. Once you prepare an RFP, you naturally float for responses. You receive responses, there may be certain level of meetings which would happen naturally to clarify some doubts. They may ask you for the inventory, they may ask you for your organization current status, and so on and so forth, right? So once you furnish all the responses, you have the bid tabulation document which has a comparison. Okay, now this comparison, based on this comparison, you have the technical scorecard and the financial scorecard, which we will be talk about in just a bit. But understand the process as an overall, that none of the steps should be missed out here, because if there is a deviation, there has to be recorded. Okay, and again, the buy-in of senior management or the business benefit needs to be documented here. What is going to be outcome, okay, that needs to be documented. Now the technical and the financial scorecard or commercial scorecard I was talking about, right? So technical scorecard is nothing but you defined some parameter, okay? Take an example of the enhance or endpoint detection and response solution which you are thinking of buying. Okay. Now, naturally, you have some objective to achieve. You want to, you know, minimize the threat. You want to take some action once the, you know, the PC is affected with the malware. So obviously, you have jotted down some maybe 50 parameters on which you want to evaluate, you want to assess. Once you put down them and whatever responses which you have received from the partner, you will put it down or you'll score or you'll give them a score against each feature. Okay, if they are probably offering, you'll probably give them full. If they're partially, maybe half, and so forth. Okay, so once you are done with the technical, putting across the feature and, you know, the meeting requirement or not, you give them as a T1, T2, T3. Okay, wherein you give the total of all the vendor score, and you define T1, T2, T3 as I said. You as a technical person has a leverage or authority to comment on the T1, T2, T3. Then the next comes is a, you know, financial scorecard, like L1, L2, L3, they said, least one, least two, least three. So obviously the vendor will also be quoting some amount of pricing mechanism, right? So you will be quoting them. However, one thing you should understand, the final say on the commercial is, you know, dependent or is with the procurement department. You can always give your influence from the point of view of technical, but one thing also should be factored into that, if if by meeting say all the parameters, if I'm paying premium and if say one feature if I reduce, and if I am reducing the 75% of the amount, I will probably go with the second choice. I may not go with the T1, I may go with the T2 because he is L1. Okay, so all such factors are, you know, coming into the play here. So whenever you are sitting across the table for the commercial discussion, the commercial negotiation, this becomes, you know, the finalized document. Once this document is kind of finalized, you would like to also take it to the senior management. One thing, again, a very important thing is, how do you quantify the business benefits? Okay. So once you have the clearance from the commercial department, once you are okay with the technical point of view or technical standpoint, you would like to, you know, take a business note and you go with senior management mentioning the business benefit. Now, from the IT point of view, friends, it is not necessary that you always have a business benefit in the monetary terms. Why? Because there may be some devices which may be going out of support from the service provider. When I say out of support, the service provider will no longer kind of, you know, support or the those hardware, those applications, and so forth, right? So it's a technology upgrade which you will have to go for. Obviously, there are no monetary benefit achieved there. However, there are certain measurable things which you know, you can report to the management that this is what we have envisaged, and this is what is, you know, kind of achieved. Let me give an example. You may would like to go for having a web application firewall or a WAF, okay? Now, without WAF, you do not know that how much times you are being attacked already, okay? But having this WAF on board, you can actually see the number of attacks, and number of attacks are being prevented. So obviously, after a duration, you can go back to the management showing the report that, hey, see, we had invested so and so, and now we are actually seeing the return of investment in terms of the features, not in terms of the monetary benefit, right? Moving on to the the review of contractual commitment is the review, or KPI, whatever was promised, am I getting it? Okay, many a time the rosy pictures are being, you know, kind of provided by a partner, but it is our job to assess them once they are onboarded. If they are not you know, kind of adhering to or meeting those SLA or those KPIs, we should have all the provisions to penalize them, or to, you know, have a provision to change my contractual term, and hence maybe change my commercials as well. Okay, the ultimate goal is to have a continuous improvement being offered in the services. That's the end objective. Apart from service contracts, there are also software contracts. Okay, why software contracts? Because you don't want to build the employee strength on the application coding perspective, because it's not, you're not an IT company, okay? You may be a pharma company, you may be a manufacturing company, or you may be some other company, or you may be a telecom company, right? You don't need the people who you know, developed a code, develop an application for you. So obviously you would like to outsource them. Now when you outsource them, you know, there are certain contracts depending on the requirement is also entered into. Those are called as a software contracts. So read out a few of the bullet points wherein you know, you may have one application, say development one time kind of agreement. You may have sustenance also, support and upgrade feature and all. One very, very important pertaining to the software contract is escrow. Escrow is something, you know, is a clause which is always should be put in into the software contracts to protect your organization. Why? Because tomorrow, if the company who is offering you the services is out of the business and you want to make some enhancement in the software by your own staff or by some other company, okay, because that company is end of business or out of business, by having a software escrow clause, you have a rights to modify the you know, source code. Okay, it's a very, very important element. One must factor in. And in fact, whenever you are facing an audit, this is the specific question is, you know, kind of coming in from the auditor's standpoint. Okay, now having all this, having said all this, right, how do I control my partner? So what could be the, you know, control measures or checkpoints, I would say, to ensure that my my, you know, contractual agreement, contractual management is, you know, fairly in a healthy shape, right? So you should have the technology upgrade clauses. Today I may have you know, Oracle 9.0, but my Oracle as an OEM is running on or is offering Oracle 12c version. Maybe I would consider to upgrade it, but it should be covered as a part of your clause and it should be inbuilt. Okay, SLAs, we have already discussed many times. Monitoring and reporting of the SLA, again a KPI monitoring, we have also discussed that. Escalation procedure, okay, this is also a very, very important. Beyond some time, you must have the touch points who can you know, speed up the recovery. Okay, so you must have those the escalation point up and working for you. Again, some standard security, as I said, the vendor may be expert in the area. They should come up with an enhancement. They should come up with a newly standard which you know, you they can offer you as an organization to adopt and or not. You can take a call as an organization whether to go for it or not, but yes, it should be a part of your contractual agreement as one of the control measures. Quality assessment practice, again, contributes to a customer happiness index, right? Right to audit, again, a very important you know, concept that if, say for an example, if you are or if you have outsourced the payroll system, okay, you know that you are dealing with the sensitive data. Now, since you're dealing with the sensitive data, your internal auditors would like to ensure, or you would like to have an assurance that whatever outsourced infrastructure, underlying infrastructure application, is it, you know, robust enough to protect my employee data to get leaked, right? So you should have a right to audit. If the right to audit clause is not there, vendor has all rights to deny your internal auditors to, you know, perform an audit. And finally, penalties and you know, incentives. Penalty is not an end objective I would like to achieve, but you know, the reward also should go hand in hand along with the penalty. So the vendor should also be motivated enough to you know, go out of the way and provide an you know, additional services. But yes, if they are not on the way, then probably we should also have rights to penalize them. Finally, the intellectual property rights. So if there is something specifically designed for me, so for an example, for the Income Tax of India, okay, Infosys has, as you know, developed the software or the new platform, right? So obviously the intellectual property rights belongs to the government of India, right? So all these are the control measures or the checkpoints one should have in the contract. Okay, these are just the, like, you know, all the pointers which we have discussed. So you can go through them. Right to audit, I have already mentioned it. It's a very, very important element and one must save your organization by having this clause in place. Okay, performance monitoring and reporting and reporting, there are certain questions one should ask to the vendor, and one should be also clear on what we want. What should we measure? Okay, if it is a link, I'll probably monitor the uptime. If it is a change, I'll probably monitor, the minimum amount of failed changes. If it is something else, I should have probably have, you know, that measurement to measure. What can we measure? Okay, we may have, you know, wheels and fences, but can we measure it? Okay, so what can we measure, that should also be factored into. Similarly, based on what we can gather, we need to have some raw data or some input, right, to assess. So that is something about the data. Once the data is available on a monthly basis, quarterly basis, frequency, it's up to you to decide. You process and churn the data and you see that what is, you know, the say the delivery outcome, right? And finally, you present that to the senior management based on the frequency you agree with the partner, and you decide the corrective action or the next steps. End objective, you always would like to have continuous improvement. Take care of yourself. Thank you so much again.